It's time to spark it up with the kennel linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store, like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Back after a long-ass fucking hiatus, the Cannell Linguist talking about weed in Maine, $270 million in the first quarter in Colorado. A leading company gets a patent, and J.P. Morgan Chase executive caught running a weed business. Talking about it, Alex Mandelberg, April O'Connor. We got a very awesome guest with us calling in from the state of Maine. Give it up, ladies and gentlemen. For the one and only Ian Stewart. Okay, yeah, now I'm happy. I had to get my effects turned on. How you doing, Ian?
Oh, not bad, man. How you doing?
Doing all right. So April's been telling me a little bit in the pre-show that in Maine it's basically legal. Like it's you guys are really on the edge of legality. How legal is it out there?
All right, so I live in the city of Portland, and in Portland we voted it was legal for adults to possess up to 2 ounces in their houses legally. But that is completely a city law, and the police decide if they want to follow city laws or state laws, and they can bust you. And, I mean, the Portland police have totally busted a bunch of people this year with state laws. So it doesn't really hold up. But the medical scene is extremely strong here, both as growers and as patients.
So if I'm getting it correctly, it sounds like the weed laws in Portland are kind of like the weed laws here in West Hollywood, where the city made a choice to tell its police department, don't 100%. Look for it. But 100%. State, yeah, it's still a problem. Yeah.
It's absolutely. Yeah, you don't even have to have a medical card in West Hollywood. Just if you're a civilian, you can have up to 3 grams.
Yeah, that was the rule as they made it in West Hollywood. So that seems to be kind of what you're talking about out there.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a pretty prolific, I'd say, like, you know, a pot artist maybe, but I've never had any trouble with law enforcement. I am a registered caregiver. So I have been caught with pot, but I've never been in trouble because of it, you know. So,
well, when you say you were caught, but you weren't in trouble, like, did the cops see it and just go, "Okay, you're licensed to have this, no problem"?
Or did you?
Well, so what happened is I was coming back from a grower's friend. I had a couple. So in Maine, the caregivers can allocate, meds to other caregivers if, like, you know, they don't have, like, if their crop went bad or, you know, they're restarting to grow, they can
businesses can help each other.
Exactly, we can donate to each other. And so with that said, I got a very hefty donation and was driving my super
that's a really
car.
Nice way of saying pounds.
You said it, I didn't say it, you know? And so I'm driving through this town and a cop tags me and he follows me. And it turns out that I actually had a suspended license at the time. I didn't know that. And I was driving a car that was, unregistered and uninspected. And so the cop pulls me over and the first thing he says is like, wow, we're really smelling like pot in here. Like, yeah, you know, ask a blue officer. And I gave him my caregiving card. I gave him my license and he goes back to his car and he comes back and he's like, all right, I got good news. I got bad news. He's like, he's like, the pot can be in the car, but because you got a suspended license, you can't. I was like, oh, shit. You know, like, the pot was legal and I wasn't. So,
man.
Funny how it's changing in Maine, you know? Yeah.
So all of the trouble you were in and none of it was for the pot, huh?
Hey,
yeah,
100%.
It's just because I'm terrible at, you know, claiming insurance. It is what it is.
Oopsie.
But I feel like Maine is one of those states where, like, they seem to be very, almost that libertarian mentality of just, like, don't tell me what I can and can't do. This is America. I'm free.
Yeah, it's a weird state. We have a Tea Party governor right now. and it's one of those things where he definitely represents, you could kind of break up Maine into like two parts, like Southern Maine, Northern Maine, right? And Northern Maine is very conservative, very traditional kind of values. I like to call it the other South, you know?
Yeah, I call it the Alabama of New England.
Oh, yeah. Like you would, the amount of cousin fucking at state fairs that's going on out there. with that said, I really like the North. I've got a couple shows coming up there, so don't take it seriously, Northern Maine.
All our
still
got to
make them motherfuckers laugh, huh?
Yeah, exactly. No, they like me. And so, yeah, we have a governor that doesn't, he's definitely a super, super, super conservative guy. But as a whole, Maine is extremely liberal. Like, you know, we were the first state to vote in gay marriage. We've been on to, you know, medical marijuana for, I think, almost 15 years. We push the boundaries on a lot of that shit, especially for New England, and New England in general is usually pretty liberal. But we're in a time where, you know, over 60% of the state voted for a Tea Party governor, and a lot of people voted, both for bear traps and for marijuana. And actually, so this November, it's going on the ballot to legalize marijuana. I think
for recreational,
maybe. What was that?
For recreational?
Yeah, for recreational.
Now, what do you think the chances are of that passing there?
I'm not entirely sure. I really thought so. This last election, Portland, you know, voted in, you know, kind of like a, but we call it maybe like a vanity law of like, oh, hey, we're legalizing pot in Portland. It's Portland now.
Portland.
Portland wasn't a Portland. And so we did that. And then the following year, South Portland, I want to say maybe Kittery or Wells or somewhere down in more southern Maine, and Lewiston had it on the ballot. And South Portland passed it. And I believe the southern Kittery area passed it. But Lewiston did not pass it. And Lewiston is kind of that cutoff of northern Maine. And I really think if there's another item on the ballot that will make people like, you know, that'll push people out, I could totally see it failing for another couple of years.
I just have to ask, because it's my favorite name of any city in any state in all of the 50 states. Where is Kenny Bunkport?
Kenny Bunkport is right next to Biddeford. And Biddeford is right next to Saco, and Saco.
Oh, jeez, Maine has such great names for some of its cities. I mean, yeah. Is that north or is that south then?
No, it's southern Maine. Kenny Bunkport's probably 40 minutes south of Portland.
Okay, now Portland, though, that is like the big city of Maine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's that thing that I wonder. It's much like that in California where Los Angeles is so effing big. There's so many people here. That how Los Angeles votes, California votes. All of California, with the exception of Los Angeles and San Francisco, is very Republican. But we've been blue for 20 years and will be blue for the next 20 because Los Angeles is pretty Democratic and San Francisco is wildly Democratic. But even with San Francisco's size, they don't sway our vote more than a few points. Like LA is the city to get the votes in. So it would seem like in Portland, if Portland's like yay weed – it would seem like the rest of Maine don't have enough people to sway you off of weed.
They're too busy swaying on their systems.
I think that might be a common misconception of like there's no one in Maine. I think we've got like a million people in Maine. There's only 80,000 in Portland. And, the surrounding areas I think make up a good portion. But I think there's, you know, half of what Maine is in the northern part of the state, just kind of scattered around like a buckshot wound. You know what I mean? Like, it's not pretty, but it's definitely there.
I really like that analogy. That is one of my favorite analogies for fucking population spreading.
I just came up with it right now. So
dude, you write that down. That was prolific.
Soundbite.
That was prophetic, I would dare say. That was beautiful. Like a buckshot wound on the open plain. The population of northern Maine.
Hey, that rhymes.
I've only been there. I've only been to Maine once, and it was just like visiting family, and we were just like at their around their place. But it's a beautiful area. But yeah, meeting the people there, it was interesting to meet like very backwoodsy, very country folk who had New England accents. Mm-hmm. And those thick New England, like almost near Southie accents.
No, I've seen Confederate flags.
Like, it's definitely a hippie redneck culture. You know what I mean? Where it's like, the same guys that drive diesel trucks are also like super into organic gardening.
You know? Jesus. Like,
that's what Maine is. You know what I mean? Like, fuck yeah, I shot a bunch of fucking bears, dude. But I only eat kale now. You know, like,
I converted like, my truck to biodiesel.
And yoga.
I mean, that's so like these guys are like, yeah, I'll drill oil in my backyard, but I'm eating organic now. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm going gluten free, Hal. I decided to go gluten free. It's wicked good for your intestines. It's so good for your digestive tract. I hear. By the way, you want to turn up that?
Got some new shotgun shells and some goji berries.
I mean, all right. What percentage of radio stations out there are country music?
Oh man, so my like there are. I think there's definitely two. So there's two in Portland, and actually the morning show, Night and the Wolf. I'm gonna shout it out to Paul. Actually, I probably should not shout him out on this fucking.
No, station. You already did. Night and the Wolf. It's out there. It's out there.
One of my best homie, the guy that I do a bunch of work with, we tour all around New England together, Canada, and all that kind of crap. He is the donkey on the morning show for the country radio station. Like he's like the joke guy for the radio. And so I get to go into the country radio station. Like I would say like maybe once a month, once every 2 months to play these like parody country songs. They're like super PG and hacky as hell with Paul. But with
not,
that said,
not as good as the song I got to hear today.
Well,
I can't talk any more about that one, but
not released yet.
I had I'll such a weird because I was just on the road in Central Washington, which is very much kind of like Maine from what I'm hearing. It's like they're very country people, like very Republican, but all smoke weed, all eat organic,
tweakers and rednecks.
Yeah, it's a weird area, but we were going to do morning radio for the show that we were doing that weekend, and we show up at the building that the radio stations are in, and we see the placards for the radio stations in this building, and I shit you not, it was country music, classic rock, country music, sports, country music, Christian Coalition. And as a Jew from LA, I'm like, dude, I can maybe talk on two of these radio stations. I got sports and I got classic rock, kind of. Like, you know, like I like classic rock, but I'm not going to be able to. But, and thankfully, it was the classic rock station because I didn't know when I showed up. I'm like, oh shit, this could get real awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know which one of these stations I'm going to be on. They didn't tell me. They just said, go to the building. Someone will find you.
Mandelberg.
I'm like, Mandelberg, don't let it be Christian Coalition. Please, God, don't let it be Christian Coalition. What was that?
I think the Christians. I mean, in all honesty, to pump a comedy show, I always go. I would prefer doing it on country radio than any other station. Like classic rock's okay, you know, radio rock, you know, alternative rock, heavy rock, that kind of shit. That's okay. But country radio, they go to shows because I hate to say it. They're listening to that shit on a fucking 9-to-5 job. They're getting off that 9-to-5 job, and it's either fucking beer o'clock or it's beer o'clock at a comedy club. You know what I mean? And like, those are the guys you see. And if they're like, I heard you on the radio, like they're going to give you a couple extra laughs, you know? And I really totally like the I'm wearing a flannel shirt when I say this, but I totally like the country radio station, you know?
That's a damn good point. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
As, you know, that is true. I mean, we just had Stagecoach out here in California,
that shit's huge.
And I couldn't believe the amount of people in California. This is not a country music state. And the amount is when I looked and I realized, I went, oh my God, every fan of country music in this entire state is at that festival this weekend.
Oh, people come from all over the country.
They actually go and do shit.
Before they started making Coachella 2 weekends, that fucking show was selling out 2 weekends way in advance. And then they started doing 2 weekends for Coachella. It's the same people that throw Coachella. It's just country Coachella.
Yeah, no, it's right down the street.
No, well, it's the same venue.
It's probably better than Coachella because in all honesty, it's less super hard drugs. And those motherfuckers drink. And, like, there's nothing like a good fucking bar tab for a comedy, you know. If like I do a lot of like random, like, you know, monthlies and shit like that at like random bars, And if I'm playing into the country crowd, they're drinking a fucking ton in the bar. Like, oh yeah, let's keep this rolling. You know, like,
of course,
it's hard to get the punk kids drinking the PBRs to, you know, sustain a really good room.
Right.
That's a damn good point.
You want to keep the house happy. That's what your job is.
Yeah,
it's weird now to think about it. I'm like, God, every time I'm on the road, the dudes who I have the most fun drinking with after, like, because there's always those dudes who hang around after the show at the clubs you're doing, like, hoping to drink with the comics. Uh-huh. And the ones who I always have the most fun with after shows are wearing 10-gallon hats. Every time one of those dudes walks up with a fresh Stetson, I'm like, we're going to get fucked up and party tonight.
There's
yes.
Yeah. The ranch in San Miguel, which is like kind of near Paso Robles, like central California. But it's definitely like fucking tumbleweeds and shit. But they specifically, the house was like, if you have any jokes about a DUI, do not talk about it, because if you talk about a DUI, they stop drinking, you know, because there's rumors about this place, like, you know, cops watching people leave this place. So if anybody starts talking about a DUI, people fucking start getting the checks. They're like, so if, you know, you're going to get, you'll never come back if you talk about your DUI. I was like,
it's a good point.
Fair enough. No, but I mean, that's really, you don't shit on the house. You want to make the house money.
When the house makes money, then they're happy. And if they're happy, you are very, very happy. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point. Mm-hmm. It's a very good point.
And, you know, not to flaunt my own shit, but I definitely make a good side hustle promoting these small rooms all over Maine. And it's definitely about keeping them happy. You know what I mean? Giving them what they want. And what they want is just fucking entertainment, man. You know, they want to sell some fucking beers. They want to sell some fucking food.
How is the comedy scene out there in Maine? What's it like?
So the Portland scene is booming right now. There's a shit ton of comics, there's a shit ton of rooms, but there's no comedy club really. Like, there's no like five, 6 day a week comedy club. It's all, you know, random daily or, you know, weeklies at all these different venues. Well, we probably have like 15 comedy nights within a week span.
And Westbrook too. That's where I did Westbrook when I was there.
And in a city like that, where I got to imagine it's a bit of a drive to get to another big city, I got to imagine like a comedy thing, that's something to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely, and I'm not saying this in any sort of way, but there's like, it's definitely hobbyists. Like, you'll see, and I'm not saying that in any sort of way as like talent, but just like, you know.
I get what you're saying.
If you want to be a part of the comedy scene here, you're definitely going out to open mics. You're seeing the same damn faces and, you know, you're working. But with that said, like, when I go on tour, I think it makes me a better comic because I have to play some shit when it's like, when you're playing the comics in a bar, you know what I mean? Half your week, I think it really helps that second half of the week when you're doing real shows, because you have to work for the laughs as opposed to, you know, some cushy stuff.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a microcosm. I mean, because LA can be the same way. You go to open mics, you're never going to see a crowd member there. It's just comics, and it's going to be rough, and you're going to pull teeth, and you're just trying to get comfortable on stage.
Or there's the missing tooth heckler that's like there every week.
But that's the thing. That gets you so ready for when you either go on the road or do a booked show that actually has crowd here in LA that you go, man, I've been on stage in silence for 7 minute chunks. So I'm on my toes. I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. I know how to turn silence into laughs.
Yeah, 100%. I think it also makes just in general, even if the crowd's a hot room, playing to like, you know, an empty room really helps you, you know, speed up and focus. It makes you like a better sniper, you know? And when you're a fucking sniper, when you've been doing that all week, you're a lot stronger than the comic that's just like, oh, I'm getting ready for the show in a weekend. I'm above open mics, man. You know, I don't do that shit anymore. I'm just in the showcases. Like, I'll do like fucking 9 open mics before I do like a really nice paid spot because I want to be a sniper. You know what I mean? The only way to do it is to eat shit like all fucking week, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just good. I mean, that's like anything else in the world. Like, people who go, ah, man, I was good when I got up on stage. Man, I thought I was, and then I've watched tape for myself from my first year, and I'm like, oh, God, no. You have to keep fucking doing it over and over and over and over and over. It's worse than golf, man.
That's
the thing. You can be a golfer, and then you leave, and you don't play golf for like 3 minutes, and then you come back, and you're like, I'm going to just take slow swings. And then you're actually hitting the shit out of the ball, and you're doing – no. If you take 3 months off from comedy, you come back, you suck ass like you did your first year doing it. You lose everything. It's wicked. So yeah. I mean, I can stand with you on that one.
Gotta eat dick.
Get that stuff.
So Ian, you still do the papers too? Are you doing the Stranger papers?
No, I am currently out of the paper game. Huh? It might happen down the road. I'm not a salesman. I got the papers. So what happened is,
well, explain what the papers are, because I'm confused.
So the papers were these papers called Stranger Papers that I got as a promotion. I was writing for this magazine called the 420 Times on staff. I was like their comedic writer, actually out in Burbank, out where you guys are from. I was writing when they were still doing the glossy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm writing for them, and occasionally I'd get a bunch of like, you know, free products, or, you know, companies would hit me up like, hey, we're interested in this. And, blah, blah, blah. And a paper company hit me up and then wanted to do a paper for me that I would just try out, like a custom paper. And I really liked the idea. And so I hit them up, but then they hit me up with a weird like blackmail contract where like, hey, we're only going to do these papers, but if you offend someone, you know, you owe us $10,000. And I was like, I'm a fucking shitty comic. Like, I'm like, all day long.
Like, you're like, I get paid to offend people.
Yeah, 100%. But I still had the art. Like, I had my buddy make the art. And so I kind of shopped it around to different companies and just like, hey, I'm looking for a promo, you know, I'll write a bunch of guys and da da da. And so I found a company that was making like, you know, European papers, a kind of paper that apparently wasn't popular in America yet, and they didn't do anything in New England. So I'd be like the first guy in New England with these style of papers. So I started, you know, they sent me a box, and I liked them. And I had a buddy that was a doctor, and he wanted to invest in the company. He invested in the company. I tried to be a salesman for, you know, a year, and the papers are really good, but I think we expanded a little too fast. We didn't have the capital to really make it happen after that.
Mm.
And with that said too, all of this work is like, I got the paper company because I was a comic writing for a magazine, and I still just want to be a comic. And, you know, as much as, you know, owning a paper company would be cool as hell, I would much rather wake up every morning at noon and go to my job at fucking 6, you know.
Yeah, that's, I mean, listen, that's so prevalent in the weed community, these companies that try, and grow way too fast. I know that, at least in my opinion, you know, they might disagree with me, but I feel like the emu oil, they're still going, but they had a big lull. They were in every shop in Los Angeles for a long time, and then people really loved their products, so everyone bought them. But the problem was they were in every fucking shop, and they couldn't keep all those shops supplied. And I went 6 to 9 months of not seeing any of their products in anybody's stores, because I think they needed to re-upgrade.
Well, the thing is when you introduce something, you know, you don't necessarily have the idea of how quickly it's going to grow, and you need to know that you can meet the demand. And I think people realize that there's a lot that what emu oil is, right?
Yes. No, I know exactly what it is, and it's great. But tell me that you haven't seen that with a lot of companies, that they're like, let's get this in every store, and then people like it, and they're like, fuck, we can't supply every store.
Well, they won the first LA Cannabis Cup that they had. They won the first topicals. So they are, you know, that gave them notoriety. I don't know. I feel like that stuff all just
– the market decides.
Yeah.
Fucking Republican.
Yeah, I also totally believe, like, you know, when there's a will, there's a way. And it takes so much to even run a small company like that you either, you know, did you get into comedy to be a business owner, or did you get into comedy to be a comedian, you know? And it's like one of those just super easy decision. Probably not a very popular decision. A lot of people in the, like – Portland and Maine is very small in general, so, you know, people that know me are like, oh, I missed the papers, man, or, you know, whatever it is. But, it was a good learning experience. I have no negative feelings from the situation or anything like that.
You could talk to OCB. They do Leafly has, like, papers, and it'll say Leafly on the outside, but when you open it up, it says OCB on the inside. So if you still were looking for something for promo, That could be a future.
Dude, I've been saying for the giveaways that I do at shows when people are leaving, like instead of business cards, I had matchbooks made.
Oh, nice.
That have but I've been saying for a while.
Papers are genius.
I think it would be awesome to get some papers and print like my business card on a book of papers.
Yeah.
Especially for weed shows, that'd be fucking gold. Those would go like fucking wildfire. I'm going to have to go after that.
I want to ask, how many weed shows do you guys have out there?
There's tons.
Oh, really?
LA, here's the thing. Los Angeles as a city with entertainment goes, it's such a big city with so many people in it. There are tons of shows everywhere, and they all get at least a little bit of viewership at them, not open mics, but shows. They all get a couple people because there's enough people that you can always get someone to fucking come in. But as far as weed shows go, yeah, I mean, there's a show that me and April have done a few times that's a speakeasy type show in the back room of a place.
There's a lot of those that have come and gone. The first place I ever did comedy was at a dispensary I worked at that had a weed show going on for a while. There was LA Confidential had that back little hash bar with a comedy show. There's this one downtown that's like a clown. There's like this clown.
I know the one you're talking about. I refuse to do it because of fucking clowns. I'm not cool. Fuck clowns.
She's a clown. I think she
can be a clown as long as she's a clown far the fuck away from me.
I'm in agreement. There's this dab lounge that's pretty cool. And I actually had the pleasure of putting together some comics at the High Times Cup that they
had. That's right. I was on that lineup doing comedy in the VIP tent at the Cannabis Cup, which was so much fun.
Yeah.
I had a weed fairy. No shit.
Literally.
A woman who had fairy wings, but the wings were weed leaves, walk on stage and just hand me an eighth and a joint in the middle of my set. And then I had another dude walk up with an 8-foot bong that he wanted me to hit. And then I realized that he was dabbing out of it and not just smoking weed. And I was like, nah, son, I don't need to cough embarrassingly on stage for 90 seconds. I'd rather tell my jokes.
I'm heating up a nail right now. Have you guys ever done comedy out in Toronto, like all the vapor lounges and shit like that?
No, but I have heard, and I really, really want to.
It's a fucking awesome scene. Toronto in general fucking rules for comedy. But you can spend a whole week literally just doing fucking Vapor Central and.
How far of a drive is that from Portland to get up to Toronto?
It's a 12-hour drive. So, if I'm going up there, then I'm, either doing 2 days in, like, one day in Mass, one day in New York, and then go up to Toronto for, probably, like, Thursday through Sunday, and then drive back down to, like, an Albany show and come back.
Hot damn, man. That's dedication. I love it. I love hearing shit like that. I just love hearing
I haven't done a tour like that for at least a year and a half. I've been keeping it pretty local. I've really been trying to work on the local scene and the outskirts. Like I've got a 6-hour gig up in Madawaska every 2 months up at this place called Big Rick's. But 120 people sold out shows. We get 100% of the door. Everyone's paying a good amount and. It's a lot of fun. It takes a hell of a drive to get up there, but it's kind of, I don't know, the adventure is part of it,
Of course.
Well, we're actually going to move on to one other topic. Do you want to stick around with us for one more topic?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
I mean,
all right, sweet.
We just talk about like some current event stuff, so you could just stay with us and chime in.
So in the state of Colorado, $270 million they made in their first quarter, which we've had a few stories on this show about just how much money weed is making for their states and Colorado and Portland and – well, Portland, Oregon rather, putting back their numbers. It's kind of – it's not even surprising anymore to find out these ridiculous numbers, is it?
No. Yeah, get it.
I know what that cough sounds like. I know exactly what that cough is.
That's a smooth, silky dab cough. It's a nice crumble.
But it keeps growing. It's snowballing. It's amazing. March 2016 totals for recreational pot sales are up 30% from March 2015.
Well, but this is kind of my big question. When I hear these numbers and all that, I go, but more and more states are starting to vote in their own recreational. It looks like California will probably be voting on it in November. So
good chance.
With that all being the case, I mean, that I feel like so many of these numbers are kind of inflated due to weed tourism.
Well, you know, I think it is. Is I think that weed is finally popular because we like, you know, the strains, all, everything that's coming out of the strains, the paraphernalia, the waxes, the edibles, everything. Everyone currently is like a fickle. Everyone loves being a fickle bitch. You know what I mean? Everyone wants to be genre specific about what they like. And I think, you know, winos that played the winos for a while, and people that got into craft beer played that, you know, played it to them for a while. It plays the foodies. But the thing is, you can do the same exact thing with weed, but there's no fucking calories in it.
Well, that's
like no fucking calories.
That's a really interesting point, because I had this conversation with someone a couple days ago where I said, you know, the big difference between weed now and weed for our parents was in the 80s and the 70s and all that, you either liked weed or you didn't like weed. Now, you could almost say, I'm like, there's a weed for everyone. If you don't like a strain of weed, keep smoking. There's a better than not chance you'll find one that vibes with you.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference now that we have that much variety going on. But
so do you see that this means that it's projected to make $1 billion in taxes?
Yes, it's projected to make $1 billion in taxes this year. That's humongous. But, and this is the big but that I'm saying, getting back to what I said before, when California is legal, when Nevada is legal, when Arizona is legal, when Maine is legal, when Florida is legal, when all of these states are legal, they're no longer going to be like, let's fly to Colorado so we can have a weed vacation weekend. They're not going to do that anymore because they could do that at home. So will everybody legalizing, we'll probably drive those numbers down a bit, but how much, I have no idea. Because you have to admit, these are probably inflated a bit by weed tourism.
Yeah.
Because when me and Justin were up in Washington this weekend, we went to two different pot shops.
Yeah, I went to one in Washington last week.
We bought so fucking much weed, we had to give some to the club owner's son. I shouldn't say that on whatever. we gave what we had left over because we were like, dude, we bought so much fucking weed.
I just brought it back with me. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we were going to, but we realized it was a couple grams. And we were like, you know, we got a lot more props out of leaving it with him than we would have from getting it home. So
it was like $70 in taxes in Washington, but it was included in the price, but when it was all like itemized, a lot of it goes to taxes. I think I spent $185. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, that was
make that money.
I was really happy in Washington this time, because last time I went to the same store I went to my first time there, where I paid $90 for 2 grams. This time I paid $80, or yeah, I think it was I paid $65 for 4 grams. So the prices have come down to a manageable level.
I got 40 CBD
pills. Like 1998 prices.
Yeah.
Like sour diesel 1998 prices.
Yeah, dude. $65, $70 eighths.
Yeah, it was it was nuts.
$45 eighths last week, and it was a $7 joint. I think I paid $45 for some bubble hash and $60 for 40 CBD pills.
Ooh.
Yes.
CBD pills.
Yes.
All right. Okay. See, that always seems to be the fun thing that comes from this recreational legalization is just the variety of products that start coming out. Like most of them are available with medical, but when I just got an inhaler for the first time this week.
They have dispensaries out there, right, Ian? You have dispensaries?
Yeah, they do. There's one like right up my block. But it's completely medical. Like, even though we're quote unquote recreational in Portland, the dispensaries only serve medical patients.
Well, same here.
Now, to get that medical license, is it like Los Angeles? You just go pay $40 to a weed doctor, or do you have to get it from a real doctor?
Yeah, you have to pay like $120 in Maine.
Wow, really?
$120 to like $200, and also there's some doctors that really truly play the game. You know, hey, God bless them. Where you do, you've got to like, you know. You go in and they
actually
want you to
check
wait
you out.
6 months.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Damn.
Wait 6 months?
Within that 6 months, we'll give you a recommendation, but you can't go to a dispensary with a recommendation. You can only like present a cop with a doctor's recommendation for the marijuana, and they can be like less of dicks to you about it.
Wait, what?
What?
The recommendation is what gets me my weed here. They used to just like when you'd go to the doctor back in the day, like 10 years, I've been here for 10 years, and my first card I bought was $150, and then they try to upsell you the actual, you know, like I paid $150 for the piece of paper, and then they sell you a little card with your picture on it for $25, but you don't really need that, because when you walk into the shops, they are like, no, we want the piece of paper. Where's your California ID? Yeah. They just charge you money for that shit. You don't even need it.
Wow. That's
In Maine, to be when you become a medical marijuana patient, they give you two red cards, and one red card is for you, and one red card is for your caregiver, either your dispensary or the guy that you buy your weed from, or you keep it and you grow your own pot.
Oh, so they stick kind of to that really like. Because I heard rumors about like how collectives were formed. It was that whole thing where you're like you had to get a bunch of dudes to give you their prescription. That like each person's allowed to grow five,
right.
But if 20 people got together and gave their license to one guy, then that one guy could grow whatever five times 100 plants.
Right. Well, that's what the shops do. But here you're only given a card. Is what he's saying. So here it's like we can just go to any shop we want and they'll take a photocopy and
yes.
we can go to, yeah. we can still go to like.
So in Maine, you can really only go to like one shop.
Right. That card, because the red card that you give them designates those plants for them to grow for you.
What?
Yeah. And you have to pay, I think it's $260 for each patient. So when I was a caregiver,
that's blowing
when I was
my
like,
mind.
You know, pursuing it. I would have to, for every patient that I had to pay $260, or at the time, I had to pay $300 to the state for each patient and to grow their six plants.
Yeah, that's their cut.
See, this is what I always wonder with this whole, is when I, once again, when I hear these numbers like, you know, $270 million in tax revenue for the state, and then you, April, saying how much of these sales actually go to taxes. Mm-hmm. I really wonder how much money is in it for the growers and the businesses, because they talk about this whole, you know, the green rush and all that, and you hear these numbers in taxes, but then you also hear what the percentages are and how many people are in these businesses. You go, is it really a green rush? Are they making?
No,
they're
the
not
price
making.
Of weed is going down.
Well, but everywhere. You're not making millions, but the states are.
Well, if the states are setting up their business model the right way, like Colorado is killing the game. The way that Washington set up was from the ground up instead of just transferring over their medical dispensaries like Colorado did. So they're just – it's a clusterfuck, and they've been taking forever to get it together. And Massachusetts, fuck. They finally got a few dispensaries open?
Yeah. Well, it's fucking mind-blowing. But all right. So moving along, Mary's Medicines receives notice of allowance of U.S. patent for transdermal cannabinoid formulations. That is English translation. A weed company got a patent for something.
Do you guys have Mary's out there?
In Maine, do you have Mary's?
No, we don't.
So it's a transdermal cannabinoid gel pen that an easy, accurate, and discreet way to consume medical cannabis.
It's for transdermal application, but it's a new way. I mean, they're the ones that came out with the patch. Have you heard of the cannabis patches or the CBD patches?
No, I haven't, but that sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to rock a patch all day long.
I just got an inhaler this week. Which is like every pump is like a wax dab.
It was way like,
yeah.
I will not do that again.
Dude, it's awesome.
It
fuck you.
Weird.
I love it. I love it so much.
It's pretty weird.
But I was surprised you were excited about this, April. And
it was like getting a load in the throat.
I
tasted like weed.
I waited until now to point this out to you. Then I'm like, wait a second. I'm surprised that you would be happy that a company would get a patent for something like this. When, I mean, as an anti-GMO or in hating Monsanto, like, isn't the whole point that we don't want patents for plants and stuff like that?
It's not. It's for an application of the cannabinoid. So whatever the gel is made of is what they're patenting, because that's what you have.
But that means other people can't use it. That means it limits the amount that you can get it out to the people.
Not necessarily.
Kind of. You'd have
people
to pay them.
Pay, yeah.
But now you got to pay them. I mean, that's basically weed Monsantoing.
No.
Yeah.
Getting a patent on something that is unique.
Where do you stand on this, Ian?
I think getting a patent, a patent, it works. I think getting a patent is kind of what like the man does, and it's not very hippie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like, I still like, I don't know, like, I do not register with a dispensary in Maine because dispensaries use a lot of terrible fucking chemicals. They're not organic. I prefer to smoke organic marijuana, bro.
Isn't that ironic? It's medical, but they're using like PGRs and fucking pesticides.
Yeah, it's fucking awful. I think I heard up to like 16 pesticides or something off, weird like that. Something crazy.
Yeah,
going on over there.
Yeah,
and when you smoke the weed, it hurts your throat, and I don't think medicine should be hurting you. So I'm very pro. Just put it in some cocoa oil, but not oil. Jesus. Cocoa, friggin', I can't, that Davit, like, that was the winner, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I had a couple, and it was good, but that was, I don't know, that was
the nail in the coffin?
Yeah.
No, cocoa soil, right? Is that what it is?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear that a lot with that whole organic weed. I mean, we just, this year, finally the highest ranking rabbi in Israel ordained that marijuana was kosher for Passover. Not just kosher. Right. They'd already said it was kosher because it's from the earth, it's grown, so it has to be kosher. But he actually said that it's kosher to smoke during Passover when you're not supposed to consume certain things that are still kosher. He took it, he rubbed the plant together, he sniffed it, he said, this smells like it has medical benefits. And then he said, I do ordain that it is kosher for Passover. So there's I get that whole, it's organic. You want it to be natural and pure and all that stuff. But
the latkes at his house are fucking paste. They're dank. You know what I mean? Like, he makes the dankest latkes on his block.
I love the idea of dank latkes. That makes me smile so fucking much. Dank latkes. I do, but I also agree, though, with what you said. Even though I'm the anti-hippie on this show, I recognize what hippieism is, and I'm going, getting a patent, that ain't being a hippie.
No, it's like trademarking something. If you have something that somebody else doesn't, you know, you just, that means nobody can rip her shit off.
I agree.
Without her going,
you're right.
Okay, I know the girl that made up those grinder cards that everybody fucking uses, V Syndicate, what up, Kim? She's, anybody that uses that shit, she just like goes and gets money because so many people knock that shit off. Those, you know what I'm talking about? Those metal grinder cards that most people use for cocaine, I guess. But you know what I'm talking about.
Maybe.
Maybe. But, you know, they have different people's logos, and you've seen, like, Marley or fucking Lion or whatever. But that's her shit. She trademarked that shit. So if somebody else uses that shit, paid.
I get
She doesn't even have to sell her fucking cards. She just has to take money from the people stealing her ideas. That's brilliant.
But that's very unhippie-ish of her.
No, it's a businesswoman.
Yes, it's great businesswoman. It's terrible hippie.
What did you say?
Great businesswoman, terrible hippie.
No, I want him to repeat what you just said.
I said great businesswoman.
Not you. Sorry.
You say what you
said? I mean, the Grateful Dead wouldn't have done that.
The Grateful Dead goes after anybody using their likeness. What are you talking about?
Well, no, now. No, here's the thing. So I don't know if you guys are fans, but it's Jerry's ex-wife that's ruining – she's harsh in the mellow, all right? and, I mean, Jerry wasn't about
girl.
That. Jerry was a free love. He was an artist, you know what I mean? He wasn't about that. And now they're making ties out of his art, which they're nice ties, but it is what it is.
They are awesome ties.
They do that with the Marleys, too, like downtown L.A. where they have all these glass shops. If anybody puts Marley on anything, even though it's like synonymous with weed – The Marley family.
But Jerry Garcia ties weren't a thing until Jerry was gone. Before Jerry was gone, he was that whole free love. I don't think he would charge anyone for taking his music. If they played it, he'd be like, ah, it's awesome, man, that you played my music.
It's
I'm glad you liked
music.
It. Peace
it's
and
a,
love, bro.
It's about their people making art with their symbolism.
Money.
Say that again, Ian.
Oh, he was notoriously bad with money.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't care about money. None of them were very good with money because they just wanted to play shows, bro, you know? Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel kind of a little bit about this, that I'm like, that's very unhippie of you to get a patent. I feel like hippies would be like, hey, man, I developed this really cool thing. If you want to buy mine, that's awesome. If someone else wants to use it, though, that's fucking cool, too, man. I feel like that's the hippie thing to do.
I mean, not if you're thinking from a business perspective, that's all.
Yeah, if you lit up a joint, right, around a bunch of hippies and you didn't pass that around, everyone would fucking hate you. The patent's kind of like not sharing the joint. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of have to pass it around. I mean,
no,
pass it around with
the patent is making you have five on it.
Oh.
Am I right?
Oh, that's a great analogy. I hate how good that was. I hate how perfect it was. Like, no, I'm just asking you to put five on it. Like, okay, I get what you're saying, but still, come on, man. If I roll a joint, I don't ask someone to give me a dollar. I don't ask for it. I'm just like, I rolled this joint. Let's smoke this joint together. That's how I feel, even though I'm an anti-hippie. All right, so the last story we got coming up today, a J.P. Morgan Chase exec was caught running a weed business. I don't even know anything about this story. So it was a J.P. Morgan Chase bank manager that doubled as a drug dealer while at work, peddling weed in his employees' parking lot and then stashing his illicit proceeds in safe deposit boxes. That's so fucking good. It's in Long Island because of course it is. Of course it's in Long Island. Long Island, the butthole of New York. It is like not even the butthole. It's the sweaty grundle. Like it's shaped like a grundle. It's shaped like a gooch. It's just like that patch of asshole between New York and the rest of New York. Oh, God. With sweaty water on both sides of it, just getting it damp and wet. And you know what? Also, by the way, I really, 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 really hope that he was just selling to his employees. I would love to think that there's some bank in the middle of Long Island where you walk into and all the tellers just like, hey, man, what's going on?
No, he was selling it in the parking lot.
Yeah, but I really hope it was to his employees.
Of course it was to his employees.
It better have been. Were they the most chill bank in the world? Did everyone just have like everyone's fucking bank account? The numbers were way the fuck off. It's like
that. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Ian.
No, I was going to say it's such a like that. Whoever the bank manager was, obviously, he wasn't an employee from like he was hired from without of the company from well, not without of the company, but he was hired not from within. I'm guessing he was an Applebee's manager. Because that's an Applebee's manager fucking moves right there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're making good money. You're already making more money than everyone else. But why not up it with some stupid-ass behavior in a parking lot? You know what I mean? Like, that's Applebee's behavior.
That's what
it's
I'm
not
saying.
Bank behavior.
Well, that was kind of my big question.
It says he also went to a local pizzeria. But it says that the DEA spotted him meeting buyers like four different times. I mean, really, the DEA is going after a fucking Long Island fucking weed dealer? I mean, unless he's selling pounds, like, what the fuck? Really? Yeah,
I mean, they said they found him with $3,000 on him, and they found $125,000 in his safety deposit box. That's a good amount of money, but I'm curious how long he was at it. Because, dude, bank managers, I feel like that's a good-paying job. I feel like that's a six-figure income job, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be pulling in $100,000 a year.
As a bank manager?
Maybe 90, maybe 75 if it's a small city. But, God, no. How much money – like, is middle class just not good enough for some folk? I thought middle class was the dream.
The people want it all.
I want it all. The $125,000, though, in cash in a safety deposit box, that's a good little business he got going for him, though. That's a fair amount of cash.
He should have just put an Uber fucking thing in his window and nobody would have caught him. Dumbass.
I don't know. Do they have – they do have Uber in Long Island.
Oh, fuck. Yeah?
I'm
going to call myself an Uber.
I'm going to call myself an Uber with my worst fucking accent in all of the United States of America. That's my problem with Long Island. It's just – it is literally – I've heard some bad accents in my life going across this country in all the 50 states. I've been to almost all 50. But Long Island has got to be the most fucking just – nails on a chalkboard accent to hear
He's like, oh my God, I can't believe what was going on in the
That's a Jewish Long Island.
Jewish, and all my family who lives in Long Island are Jewish as well, and their voices drive me fucking Oh my God. It's hard to hate things about people who you're related to. Because you know it's something that, like, if I was born in Long Island, I'd fucking sound like this. Oh my God, what kind of bullet did I dodge by not fucking sounding like this and living in Long Island with these Long Island Jews with their accents Oh my God, I can't believe that I was, oh my God, and they did oh God. My family lives in Roslyn, Long Island. Roslyn, Long Island. Ugh. It's awful. I hate it.
But we love Long Island, any listeners.
Listeners in Long Island. We love you. We hate everything surrounding you, though. April might not. I do. I hate every, like, I'm you, always, I love. I'm sure as soon as I step out of your door, I fucking hate everything. I hate it. It's so sweaty and muggy. I got issues with humidity. It's why, as much fun as New Orleans is, kind of fuck it a little bit because it's so fucking sweaty.
Do we have time to talk about this tweet?
We can talk about this real quick before we sign off. So, police
respond to a weed tweet that goes viral. Some dumbass tweeted, "Who in Sarasota, Florida has weed? # Sarasota." And the Sarasota PD responded, "If you'd like to stop by our headquarters, our narcotics detectives would be more than happy to talk. # say no to drugs."
Dude, I was telling you this before the show. Nothing makes me happier than when government agencies start tweeting shit out, like as jokes or anything. I told the story before. Adam Ferber, who's a good friend of both of us, he's bald and he used to have a lot of hair when he had his first passport picture taken. He had to renew his passport and he sent the passport in and he wrote a letter and posted it on the Department of Homeland on their webpage, on their Twitter account, was like, "Hey, can I get my picture back? Because I haven't had hair for a while and this is a great picture of me with hair." And they tweeted back to him, "Yes, we'll send it back to you, sir." And I'm like, dude, I want to make a movement that anybody can have a Twitter account, but the only people allowed to post on Twitter or anything and actually write things on Twitter are either famous celebrities, like with verified accounts, or government agencies, because those are the only people we give a fuck about. That's literally the only ones I want to see actually post shit on there.
But you know,
we wouldn't have these great responses.
Have you ever read Jose Canseco's tweets?
Oh, but he's famous. He's on the list. He's famous. Jose Canseco is on the list. Of course Jose Canseco gets to tweet.
He's so incredibly dumb.
Oh, God. No, well, listen, Jose.
It's so amazing.
He is incredibly dumb, but he's also – here's the weird thing about Jose Canseco. Like, he's incredibly dumb and he's incredibly stupid and he's incredibly self-centered. And he's also, whether you like it or not – he hasn't lied about anything. Like, all of the – like, when he named all these names of dudes doing steroids and everyone was like, "Oh, come on, not so-and-so or so-and-so and so-and-so." He has not been wrong yet. Everyone who he's named, we found out later, was doing steroids. Dude's not a liar. Dude's probably also still doing steroids. Here, let's just read the last three. "You know, I would let the @BlueJays bobblehead me." "Did they really unpaint my gold seat in the Sky Dome?" "It's great to be back in Toronto. Love this town and Canadians and wish that 1998 had never ended." Boy, I don't even think anyone remembers you in Toronto in 1998. God, Jose Canseco really is, like, he thinks Jose Canseco is so important. He thinks he's so fucking important.
It's amazing. No, they're really entertaining. It's just like when you read a Kardashian, you're just like, you shouldn't be allowed to read people's thoughts like this, but...
Yeah, no, but when amazing. They let you in, you're like, why did you do this?
Speaking of Twitter, though, right? You want to plug your Twitter?
Yeah, Ian, what's your Twitter? Where can people hit you up at?
I don't really use Twitter them.
God bless you for that. Neither do I.
I don't know why. I mean, it's a bad move. I used to write for the 420 Times Twitter. That was on my phone, but now I do not do that. I just don't use Twitter. So anyways, you can find me at ianstewartcomedy.com or you can find me at my YouTube channel, YouTube/The Stranger Show, and it's The Stranger, S-T-R-A-I, like strain. You know what I mean?
Ah, okay.
Yeah. The Stranger Show, and I've got a bunch of video. I do a ton of videos on that, and also on Instagram at I Hate Ian Stewart.
You got any shows to plug coming up?
I have shows nonstop. So if you go to, again, if you go to ianstewart.com, ianstewartcomedy.com, or if you also go to facebook.com/
And that's
Stewart.
And that's Stewart with a U, correct? S-T-U-A-R-T?
Yeah, Stewart with a U. Yeah, it's very Scottish. I-A-N-S-T-U-A-R-T. But tomorrow I'm hosting a show. Saturday I am hosting a show. Sunday hosting a show. What do I have on my calendar? That's good. I actually have a show I can't talk about. It's on the 20th. I am headlining a show on the 21st at Soam Brewery in York, Maine. So if you're in York, Maine, I think the show will probably be packed out. I'm not entirely sure if they're selling tickets, but if they are, they may or may not have any left because it's a fairly small space, but definitely check it out. And they make awesome beer. And and also I'm hosting the two big things. I'm hosting the Couch comedy competition, which is the $1,000 comedy competition at Empire in Portland. So if you're a comic and you want to win $1,000, it's like a month long competition. I'll be hosting that. And also I'm hosting and I'm curating the first annual Portland Comedy Festival, which will be 5 days of stand up comedy through Portland, Maine, a couple of different venues, but OLS will have tickets up. And the shows include a naked show, Shane Torres from Comedy Bang Bang and Conan, Ben Cronenberg from Conan. We've got a roast of a local celebrity and a bunch of like really cool amateur and semi-pro.
Well, just to self-serve, are you guys still taking submissions for that or have you already finished booking it?
Yeah, it's been booked for months.
Ah, balls. I wish I had known. I would have submitted to that. That sounds like a ton of fun.
Oh, dude, it's ridiculous, but it's also it's all for the most part Maine comedians.
Ah, okay.
Other than the headliners, are all out of state.
Nice. Well, but very cool.
OneMonthHostSquare.com.
When is that?
And that will be July 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. The Sunday, we're at Empire with Louis Ramey from Last Comic Standing.
Nice.
Well, very cool. April, you got anything coming up?
I am at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room on Sunday, May 22nd, and then I'm doing the Springbok.
Ah, very cool.
Which is the 25th.
Very cool. Well, I will. I'll be heading to Reno again in early June, or I think it's early June. Actually, exciting. I'm not supposed to talk about this yet, but I might because the headliner will have to go to another city one night. I might be headlining one of the nights there instead of just featuring, which would be really awesome because it's a great comedy club that seats like 220, and I've been there a bunch of times, and I'd love the chance to headline it. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll get the dates when I have that if it becomes official. Other than that, I got PUI coming up on the 20th, which is going to be a good time. We got a lot of great comics on that, me and Quincy Johnson. And then June 2nd, I'll be sitting here watching my boy Quincy Jones with his HBO special coming out. Really excited for him, for him, giving him some shout outs because we do love him and we're so happy for him and everything that he got. Burning the Light, June 2nd. Make sure to check that guy's out because Quincy is a special guy who deserves recognition. Thank you so much, Ian, for sitting with us. Thank you so much to the Crab Diving Network. Thank you to the Riffopolis Studios. Thank you, April, because I love you. And have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hey, thank you guys so much.
Thank you. All right.